Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Noodles at Noon, the show that focuses on things that are not worth focusing on. And we invite you to a rather different episode of Noodles at Noon. I am Ben, joined as always by my co-host, Noah.
Hey, good morning, good noon, whatever time you may be listening to the show. Yes, I am here today, and
good evening.
Holding my mug of black tea. It has a cow and a mountain. And then if you go to the other side, it has a cow being abducted by a UFO. So
that's going to be a good day. It is going to be a good day. We are not
joined. Wait, why is that timely?
We'll figure it out eventually. You don't know what's going to happen between the time we record this and the time it goes up. I'm just taking a shot in the dark and saying that a cow being abducted by an alien is timely. We are joined, not as always, by a special guest, as Michael is having his eyeballs blasted back into the correct shape. He is getting his LASIK surgery, and despite giving us an ample amount of time to find his, another special guest, we didn't, because, I don't know, we both work full-time jobs.
It's been a week. It's been a busy week.
It's been a busy, or interesting week.
A different week.
It's been a different week. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with different. So yeah, it's just gonna be Noah and I this week, and we're just gonna chat. We're gonna shoot the breeze. We're gonna, I don't know exactly what we're gonna do. I kind of left this one in Noah's hands. So Noah, take us away.
Oh no, I completely dropped the ball. I'm gonna go with this episode is to make up for the 15 minutes of last week that I didn't get to be a part of the episode.
Oh good.
which was funny because I usually listen to the episodes at work after they release, and that was like my favorite 10 or 15 minutes of any show. Like I didn't have to listen to myself or cringe every time I talked and said something that was kind of just didn't make sense. You and Michael did a great job, so I'm excited to see
Thank
how
you.
this two-person podcast works.
There's a reason I don't listen to our podcast, and it's because I talk a lot and I don't want to hear that. So
have you ever listened to a published show?
Yes, I have. I listened. Well, that's the reason our viewers or our listeners have dropped off, is because I've stopped listening to each show five times after it's gone up. But Noah, thank you for joining us. You told me you have a list of things that you have prepared that you want to talk about. And so I'm just going to let you take it away. I have a couple things too, but Noah, you seem so amped and ready to do this. So go right ahead.
I just prepared a myriad of topics of things we can kind of talk
Hold up.
About.
Myriad? I believe it's myriad. I'm kidding. We can just... I'm not going to cut you off that early.
Well, now I'm distracted already, and I'm just going to look up how to pronounce myriad. All right. We're going to listen to Emma saying... Oh, it's got a 5-second ad before the 6-second video, so that's cool.
That's our 5-second ad.
She's gonna say it. Wait, what? She says myriad.
Yeah, so does everybody else.
Is this like Dalmatians all over again?
Dalmatians, and yes.
Wait, Oh, wait, this person says myriad. Okay, we're both right. Can we both be right?
No, I'm already chalking up another score for public schooling.
I think you've gained a lot of those through this show. Speaking of, like, I don't know. I do not like things that make me feel inferior. And
I don't think anyone does.
I don't think you're unique. There's this really unique thing about me. I just don't like to feel bad about myself. But nothing has quite brought that out in quite a while, as much as watching Jeopardy this week. This weekend, we decided to spend our Friday night watching episodes of Jeopardy. Because Netflix, you can just watch old episodes of Jeopardy, at least like the last couple of years worth, I guess. And I was excited to watch it as an adult because I used to watch Jeopardy like in the Ken Jennings era. My sister and I would watch like almost every show that Ken Jennings was on for, I don't know, however many weeks that was. And so I was excited to go into it as an adult and think, you know, I'm going to get a lot more of these questions. I'm going to feel pretty good about myself. And maybe someday I could be worthy of being on Jeopardy. And sure enough, I could not get hardly anything right on Jeopardy. They go so fast and they talk about things that I don't know about. And it made me feel really bad about myself.
I've watched Jeopardy a few times. It's not like a staple of our household that will watch Jeopardy. But I think it's interesting whenever, because like you said, I have zero. If I was on that stage, I would get 0 points. But every once in a while, they'll have a category that's just football. And like every single question I know the answer to. But there have been times where they've had like football history. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really easy. And then they go down and they get every single one of them wrong. Or like it just times out. And I just thought, I could have, for one category in Jeopardy, I would have been smarter than those three people. And it's done that
if
with like...
luck had gone exactly my way.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah,
in
this one...
In college, I was going to say, in college, one of my journalism professors actually was on Jeopardy. And she actually won the game that she was on. And then, so she's technically a Jeopardy champion. And then she went to the second game and she was winning by a lot. And it got to Final Jeopardy. And apparently she's not as good at math as she is at Jeopardy. So she wagered and got the question wrong and lost by $1. So we made fun of her for that in class.
At least she got the one win. I just always feel bad for, especially the shows we were watching. This guy had won like 8 or 9 episodes in a row. And the other people never had a chance. Like one of them was just in negative territory the whole time.
Mm.
And he just didn't give anybody else a chance to answer. It was amazing. So I'd feel really bad about that. Because you have to like go through, I'm sure you have to do a test and get screened before you get to go on Jeopardy. And it's an honor to get to be on Jeopardy. And then you go on and you just get absolutely thrashed by the guy that's been there for 2 weeks. And then you leave with negative money.
I don't think you actually have to pay. No. I think it defaults to where like the first person who comes in first gets all of their money. The person who comes in second gets 2,000. And the person who comes in third gets 1,000. I think.
Oh, really?
I'm not exactly sure.
Well, if you had to be on one game show, like you got to pick one to go on, which would you pick?
Probably Deal or No Deal, because that game requires absolutely zero strategy. Because no matter what, like the case that at no point can you switch cases. So you can't say, never mind, I want that case. So there's really no, and like the numbers that are up there don't switch which numbers are in them. So you just pick at random. It's a completely random game and it's completely independent of any strategy whatsoever. So probably Deal or No Deal.
Would you want Howie Mandel Deal or No Deal? I don't know if does he still host it?
I think it's Wayne Brady now. I want Wayne Brady.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, I used to watch Deal or No Deal all the time. I'm trying to think what show I'd want to be on, because there's so many game shows, and I used to love watching like the Game Show Network that's just all game shows all the time. I would love to get some people to go on Family Feud, just because I think I don't enjoy watching that show like at all, but I think
that?
It would
Let's
be really
that.
Fun. We can do. There's like a there's a video game version of Family Feud that I think works a little better than Monopoly. We could. You, me, and Michael have a Family Feud night.
We should do that.
I think you can play against other families, or, you know, not necessarily families, but other people online. So we might have to think about that. A Family Feud night would be really fun.
All right, Noah. I have signed in, and we are going to take the Jeopardy test.
Oh, no.
Let's do this. Okay, here it is.
Wait, for clarification, is this the Jeopardy test? Like,
yes,
if you want to be
on the Jeopardy site.
Can I try out for Jeopardy, like, the kids edition?
No, there is a college one, but we're neither of us are in college. How did you... Like the... I have to fill out a thing before I start the test, and it's, how did you hear about the online test? And the first option is Sacramento Black Chamber of Commerce.
What?
So I'm going to put that. And those, okay, so, like, these are the options. Sacramento Black Chamber of Commerce, Kern County, or the Jeopardy show. Like, those
what
are
about
the...
Not just, like, watching it on TV. I guess that's the third one, the Jeopardy
show. Yeah, Jeopardy show. Oh, I'll just put other.
Yes, I heard about it through the county. We had a city council meeting and talked about who wants to go on Jeopardy. It's like the Hunger Games. Who's going to represent our district on Jeopardy this year?
Who's going to? All right, here we go. We can only submit the test once. We cannot close the window, and we have to answer every question. Are you ready? We're going to be on Jeopardy.
Wait, can you share your screen so I can see these?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So here's what happened, everybody. We just did 50 Jeopardy questions. I think we nailed every single one.
Me too. However, I just got to the end, and it said next steps, and the first thing says, please do not share your test material. So you will not get to hear us answering any of the questions. However, my test submission will be given to Jeopardy contestant team for evaluation. If I pass the test, I'll be placed into a random selection process for invitation to a contestant audition. I will receive my invitation anytime within the next 12 months. I'll let you know if that happens.
Yeah, please follow up about that.
I doubt I'll get anything in return. So I'm so happy we were able to not share this experience with you guys.
How many do you think we got right, though?
Well,
I have a number
questions.
In my head.
I think 12.
Oh, okay. I was thinking 20. I feel like there were maybe 15 or 20 that we were 100% confident on. There were definitely more than half that we were 100% not confident on.
Yes, there were also a few that I just misspelled, which I think that's not a fair portion of this test because, first of all, it's timed. Second of all, you don't have to spell it in Jeopardy. Well, you do it for the last one, but...
Actually, that's a good point. Like, these people on Jeopardy might be horrible spellers, and we just don't know.
Exactly. So, yeah. Thank you for participating in that with me, Noah.
That was a great use of our time that no one will ever know about.
Yep.
We can't even give it away as, like, a bonus segment. Unless...
No, we can't.
Unless
we
say,
hey... We are not
allowed
to share this.
Unless you go fill out the Jeopardy submission... And then let us know, and we'll send you this clip.
Yeah. Well, Noah, do you have anything else you want to talk about now that there's like 20 minutes of our show gone?
Well, I think we all know what the biggest story in the news this week is, and that was the stock market, something we talk about on this show pretty much every week.
Yep.
We're all big into the stock market. Ben, do you have any investments? Are you in the
Absolutely
stock market at all?
Absolutely none. I don't have any investments whatsoever. Except for baseball cards.
That's true. You invest pretty heavily in baseball cards, so it all depends on how you look at it. I would also, if you had asked me about 4 days ago, I would have said I have never been involved in the stock market, never done anything with the stock market. But that has all changed now. I'm sure anybody that has read the news knows about GameStop and AMC and everybody on Reddit on the internet trying to, I don't know exactly if it was just to make money or to upend Wall Street and upend
I'm
all the hedge
funds. I'm
pretty
sure it was to upend Wall Street. I think that was pretty much the entire purpose.
And I don't even really understand what a hedge fund is. Like, if you asked me to explain to you what a hedge fund is, I absolutely could not. Could you?
I don't know if a hedge fund could.
That's probably a good point.
Existent entity that makes money in suspicious ways.
And it's not gambling. It's all legal.
It's kind of gambling.
And it's probably not all legal.
And it's questionably legal.
Yeah, so anyway, I am not a gambler. I've never done anything gambly, but I convinced Jesse to let me take a very small amount of money, not a big gamble, and just get on one of these stock apps and just mess around with it because I was curious. I was interested. I invested in a few stocks and did not go well. I think I'm in the negative on all the stocks I invested on. However, just kind of as a fluke a few days ago, I also invested in Dogecoin, which is a cryptocurrency. And it shot up like 700% after I did that, which canceled out all my losses in the stocks. And I think I was at like double what I started with. And I was like, okay, this is cool. I should think about pulling out or something. And then I went to sleep and then I woke up and it had pretty much crashed all the way back down to where I'm like, I'm pretty neutral. I think if I just pulled out now, I'd be exactly where I started, which is probably the smartest thing I could do. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you got to write it out, man. What is Dogecoin?
Okay, so you know what Bitcoin is, right?
Yeah.
It's just like another cryptocurrency that was started as a meme. It's based off like, you know, the Doge memes. I think they're, is it Shiba Inus? Is that how you say that breed of dog?
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, I don't even know like the origins of the Doge meme, but it's basically a cryptocurrency that was started as a joke, but it started to get some traction and it went from like being valued at 1 cent of U.S. money to like 7 cents, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you have like, you know, 10,000 Dogecoin and the value of it is seven times, then it's a big deal. So I don't fully understand anything I'm doing here, and like I said, it's all very low stakes because I don't necessarily condone just straight gambling.
It's currently sitting at 4 cents, I'll have you know.
It is, yeah. I'm actually sitting here watching it. It's like it keeps going up and then it tanks, and then I don't know. I've tried to follow some of the news about it or like read tweets about what it's going to do and if it's going to go up or down, and it makes no sense to me. So I think after about a week in the stock market, I think I'm going to pull my money and pretend like that week never happened because I didn't understand it.
I at one point had the Robin Hood app, and I know that Robin Hood's now in some hot water, but I had that and it like gave you a free stock to start out. And I think I chose GoPro because it was like $3.80. So I was like, yeah, you can choose this. And like, so I was like, yes, I'll buy into GoPro. I'll own stock in GoPro. And so I did that. And like a day later, I looked and it had gone up to like $4.50. And I was like, dude, I made money. I'm getting out. So I sold. I made my 80 cents. And went to live my day and then went back to bed, woke up the next day, and I looked and GoPro had gone back down. And I was like, I am a genius. Like, I played the stock market, I made money, and I got out in time. And I was like, it is possible, however, that the only reason it went up is because I bought it.
You were the
one.
And
then the only reason that it went down is because I sold it. So I fluctuated all of GoPro's.
Just this one guy on his app. I just person. Fluctuated GoPro by 10%.
I will take you all down at GoPro. That's my only experience with investing in anything.
So investing has been good to you. You made, what'd you say, like a dollar?
A little bit less than that.
But hey, that's, I mean, some people would say they've lost thousands or millions or maybe even billions in the stock market. So you might have one of the best stories in the stock market.
I might. Yeah, I'm in the top 1%. We're really, like, we're missing the one person who would actually be good at this conversation, which is Michael, because he actually does investing stuff. So he probably knows more, and he's probably going to listen to this and be like, those fools. Because that's what Michael sounds like.
I made the mistake of telling Michael, or just asking him, hey, what do you think about all this? And then he told me, like, hey, you got to use this app. Don't use the Robinhood app. You got to invest in this. I'm not investing in any of this. I'm staying far away from that. So, I'd be curious to ask Michael his thoughts about this when he gets back.
We'll have to do that. He won't be back for another 2 weeks, unfortunately.
And by then, I wonder if it'll still be relevant then. If people,
I wonder if the
remember.
Stock market will still exist in 2 weeks.
What was happening a year ago, even?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked, because I have pulled up a list, and I'm going to, it's going to be like kind of a quiz, kind of not really, but of the most popular news stories from January of 2020, now that we're at the beginning of February. So we can take a look at what happened pretty much exactly a year ago and what we were kind of thinking about and what was going on. One of the first things that happened January a year ago was a helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant and eight others, including one of his daughters. That was a sad one. That was pretty much close to a year ago to the week. There was jet fuel dumped in Los Angeles from a plane that was landing at LAX, and it dumped jet fuel on a school.
I remember that too. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that happened a year ago. U.S. announces the first case of a virus that originated in China. That was on January 21st.
So just to like stop on that, what was your like progression to realizing that this virus was kind of more of a big deal? Because at least for me, I remember probably about a year ago, like kind of making jokes about it, or it just seemed so far away, or like, I don't know. I vaguely remember swine flu was a thing and it came and went and it didn't affect my life in any way. And, you know, these things kind of come and go and just don't really affect your life. Like, when did it start to get real for you, or what was your, how did you kind of remember responding to this news when it was first starting to break in the U.S.?
When it was first in the U.S., I was kind of like, oh, that's probably not good. Like, I probably didn't think, kind of like what you're saying, I was kind of thinking like, oh, the swine flu happened and we're all fine. Well, not everybody. Swine flu did affect people, but it wasn't like anything crazy. I didn't think so at the time. So I was probably just like, eh, it'll be like that. And we, like a couple years ago, we had that whole Ebola thing. And that didn't really, nothing really came of that. At least in the United States, it didn't. For me, it didn't really start being a real thing until like March. And then I think March 13th, which was a Friday, by the way. It was Friday the 13th. And I know because I was supposed to leave the next day for my spring break trip. And on Friday the 13th, the day before, everything got canceled. And that's when I was like at a party when we got the news.
Oh.
That like campus was going to be closing, because it was like a going away party for something that we had on campus. So I was like, yeah, I'll go there. I'll meet some of my friends there. So we were like all together. And like even when we were all together, we weren't like, oh, maybe we should be meeting in groups this big. We were like, well, that's sad that we can't go. Oh, well. And then we couldn't go back to campus, and now we're here, and everything that happened between that Friday the 13th and now is a complete blur. So yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. My experience, and I'm sure it's this similar for a lot of people, but yeah, I remember, I'm actually looking back at the calendar. We were supposed to leave on Saturday, March 14th, to go down to Mexico, for a week. There's an orphanage that we've gone down to a couple of times, and we do some work there over our spring break. And like Thursday, we loaded all our bags onto this trailer that was getting ready to go down to Mexico. And I remember us all kind of following the news and thinking, oh, this is weird, but I guess, you know, I guess we'll pack up and get ready to go. And then Friday morning, I woke up, and before I even looked at my phone or anything, I just got this weird feeling of, we should not go on this trip. Like, we might get down there and not be able to come back if, you know, borders close, or what if, you know, one of us is sick and we bring it into an orphanage? Like, that's not a great thing. And then I remember getting a text from Jesse and her feeling like the exact same way. And then throughout the day, like talking with more people that were going to go on the trip, and all of us just kind of had this realization of we should not do this maybe. And yeah, then then everything kind of went down from there. But yeah, it's interesting because I don't know. I feel like I'm the one that always assumes, not assumes the worst, but not assumes the best, just assumes neutral. Assumes, yeah. The most neutral. Like, oh, this thing that's happening, probably nothing's going to come of that. And I remember like talking to some of my roommates at the time, like, they're like, what do we do? Should we go, you know, buy a bunch of canned food? Should we buy water? Like, buy toilet paper? All these different things. And I just remember telling them, like, dude, two weeks from now, coronavirus is going to completely blow over. Like, this is, no one's going to be talking about this anymore. We've been through other situations like this where things happen and people freak out and they just kind of pass. So this is just going to pass. And it's so funny to look back on that take now is such a bad take.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird to think that the first case was pretty much exactly a year ago.
Yeah, it
and
was.
And now I can't leave my house.
Yeah, it's definitely taught me. I think, like, trying to pull lessons from the past year, a lesson I've definitely learned is we as humans, or maybe especially as Americans too, I'm not sure, but we tend to not really care about problems until they affect us or affect the circle around us. And whether that's racism, like, well, that doesn't affect me, so I don't really see the problem, or coronavirus, well, that's happening overseas, but that's not happening here, so I don't really know what I'm supposed to do about it. I think this year has helped me to learn to care for things even beyond my little small circle, and the importance of, just caring.
We're supposed to be a show that talks about things that are not important or not worth focusing on, but that was poignant and useful, and I think true. So, yeah, there's definitely like a, that's their problem, why should we care mentality, and nothing like a global pandemic to bring us all together. But yeah, other things that were in the news a year ago, apparently we were going to go to World War III with Iran. I remember being more concerned about that, because I am not made to go to war, my personality and physicality and mentality and emotionality would not bode well going into the U.S. draft. And yeah, I'm glad nothing came of that, I will say.
Yeah, I don't even remember that. The only Iran news I remember is that they were hit really hard by the pandemic really early.
They were, yeah.
Man.
Well, that's kind of what was in the news a year ago.
Wow.
Just to name a few.
That was a really good idea. It's interesting to look back at what a year ago was. I like to do that with my photos on my phone. I feel like I do that every couple of weeks. Like, just look back to see, oh, what was I doing a year ago? Or what was I doing 2 years ago? And sometimes right now that makes me sad, but it's fun to look back on. It's fun to look back on memories regardless, and just remember all the fun things that we've been able to do. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So to look forward, my last thing I really wanted to talk about, because it's a really nice day today, at least, well, I haven't been outside. I don't go outside. But from the looks of outside and what has been reported to me by Jesse, it's a very nice day today. And it's made me think about summer. And I would love to do more with my summer than last summer. And, you know, obviously we have to be careful and you can't just do anything. But what do you want to do this summer, Ben? Like, what kind of activities or what big plans? What's something you'd like to just do for fun this summer? I wanted to look ahead and kind of get excited about maybe some exciting things that could happen.
Well, it's interesting because I've been thinking about summer too, but the most like prevailing thought I've had about summer is that this is the first year that I don't get a summer break.
Oh, yes.
Because I have graduated and gotten one of those real jobs. So I've been like, even like at my work when I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, I just got to, you know, like, it's kind of stressful, but I'll get to, oh, wait, no, I won't get to summer break. I will just get to summer and then continue.
Continue working.
Yeah, but I guess what I need to focus on the most for summer is finding a healthy work-life balance with summer and still being able to do things during the summer. So if you have any tips for work-life balances, that'd be great. but I don't know. I guess with the summer, I'm excited to get vaccinated. That's a weird thing to be excited for. But hopefully that will happen. And once that happens, things can kind of return to, I don't want to say normal, but whatever the new normal will be. And just go out, meet people, meet new people, be adventurous. That was kind of my like New Year's resolution, to be more adventurous, because I've spent literally the past year staying home for the most part.
Right.
So just finding ways to do things that I wouldn't typically do, like go places and do things and see things and just have fun doing that while also working my full-time job.
You can't.
That's kind of my answer.
Stay home and work all day.
Stay home and work? Okay, fine.
Just kidding. Yeah, I keep thinking about all the cool things that there are to do in this town, like we live, I mean, we don't live in the same city, but we live close enough. And we both have lots of cool things that we can do in our towns. And yeah, Justin had talked about really just wanting to do more of that. Like, I'm missing concerts really bad. I would love to to a small, you know, live music at some kind of cafe venue or something this summer. I definitely would like to do more hiking or just get outside and get outdoors a little more. I feel like I didn't do very much last summer. Just mostly out of laziness, not just because we were trying to stay home, but just a lot of it was just laziness or busyness with other things. So I'm excited to spend some more time doing some things outside. And we're talking about investing in a kayak, I think. So we might try some kayaking, which I've never done before.
Investing in like an actual physical kayak or the kayak industry?
We're going to invest in kayak, that like hotel website or whatever.
I wonder how much their stocks are.
Yeah, investing in the literal sense of buying a kayak and then watching it lose value, but we gain fun.
Aww.
And skydiving. I still get to go skydiving. That's been like my big thing I've been excited for this summer.
I'm looking at the price of kayak, but I don't even know what any of this means, so cool.
I know, there's so many things in these stock app, like, because yeah, I'm using Robinhood too, because I got it like right before everybody got really mad at Robinhood.
Mm-hmm.
And probably rightfully so. So I don't know. I don't feel like I'm knowledgeable enough to have an opinion about anything, but I don't know. I just see green and that's good and red is bad.
Yeah.
Unless you're shorting, and then it's the other way around.
You can currently buy it for $7.21. Not the whole company, but stock.
The whole company.
Yeah, you can have Kayak for $7.21.
You could probably buy my web development business for about $7. I would take it.
Okay.
You can have my client list.
And it's then like can three. I hire you?
Yes.
To do all
like
the work?
Minimum wage.
But then I'll pay you like, just split it 50-50.
Yeah, because you run all the ownership, the administration tasks.
Exactly, yeah. That's
keeping
that's
the employee
what I do best.
In check.
Exactly. That's a good speak pipe question, though. What are people most excited for with summer? If you've made it this far in the podcast.
And what game show do you want to be on?
Ooh, yes, that one too.
I meant to ask that earlier.
Oh, dang it. What? Excuse me, I just burped. We'll cut that out. What game show do you want to be a part of? And what do you want to do this summer? That sounds like such a like a yearbook question. Like, I can't wait to hang out this summer. It's going to be great.
And then we're
but I honestly can't wait to hang out this summer. It's going to be, I can't wait to hang out with people this summer.
I know.
As soon as we're all vaccinated and healthy and it's warm and it's not freezing all the time.
Family feud nights at our house.
I'm in.
That's what we're going to be doing.
I'm so in. Well, do you have anything else you want to talk about? Or have we covered the bases of what we were going to talk about in this podcast? This different Noodles at Noon. There were no games. Well, there was a game, but we had to cut out the whole thing.
Our effort to play a game just did not go well.
Yeah, we were legally stopped from playing the game.
Our lawyers told us we couldn't publish that game, so we had to stop.
Yeah. Oh, well. Maybe in the maybe in a year when they get new questions. No, that won't happen.
I want to know if those questions are from old episodes of Jeopardy or if they're written specifically for the test or how that works. I'm very curious.
Probably,
but yeah,
because I would imagine, like, if you get, like, those super crazy Jeopardy people who watch every single episode, they'd probably be like, oh, I remember the answer to this question. So I would imagine it's tailored specifically for that test.
That's like the guy. Okay, I went through a phase where I got really into documentaries about people cheating on game shows. Because there are several. There are, like, three or four. And there was this guy that would watch every single episode of Price is Right. And he would keep these long, complicated spreadsheets of what every single product on the show cost, because they'd use the same product multiple times in a season. So he got to the point where he had the price of every single product they would show on Price is Right and committed all to memory. And then he kept trying to go on the show because he would just know all the answers. And I think he went on multiple times and he won a bunch of stuff. He did really well. I think the producers got pretty upset about the whole thing. There's also one about a guy that cheated on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He like had people planted in the audience that could like or cough or different things to signal what the correct answer was. So it was really like five people who were all really smart combining their knowledge. It's really interesting to me. I don't know. It's a very weird, tiny genre of documentary, but it really appeals to me for some reason.
That is interesting. I was watching, this has to deal with Family Feud, and I was watching a clip from a Family Feud episode the other day, and it was for like some skee ball table or whatever. And the first person, the very first person, they're like, how much do you think this is? She goes, $1. And then they're like, you go to the next person, she's like, $2.
Why you just go all the way down.
Yeah, why would you put $1 as your first option?
At the very beginning.
Yeah, because the next person can just say $2. And I really wanted the third person to just go $3.
Yeah, it just goes down to $5.
Yeah, $2 is just as dumb an answer as $1 in that point.
Oh man, game shows. I would love to do like a spin-off podcast where we just review game shows. There's so many that last like a year and then go away. I would recommend for our listeners, look up The Baby Game. It ran in, I think, the 60s for like one season. And it has to do with like parents betting on their babies to like race across the room, or bet on if children will be able to correctly solve puzzles and things like that. It's very weird. Very weird concept for a show.
I think my parents would do well in that just because they have very low expectations of me. And that's a good thing.
Ben won't figure this out.
There's not a chance. That's the only way you can go into that show is like with incredibly low expectations, because either you're correct or you're proven wrong, but then your baby's a genius. So if you're like, no, my baby can't do that, you either win or you're like, oh, hey, my baby can do that. Maybe I'm a better parent than I thought.
That's true. You win either way.
You win either way. Except money is more valuable than thinking you're a good parent. So.
Yeah, that's true. I'd rather have money and think I'm a bad parent.
I'm a horrible parent. You can't do anything.
But I'm rich.
But I'm rich now. Keep making me money by being bad at things.
That's when you have to like scheme with your kid. Like, okay, just fail everything.
Exactly. But babies don't understand that. Babies are so inherently competitive. They're just like, well, I want to win. I've never met a baby that wanted to lose. Every like competition I've gotten into with a baby, they've always been very determined. However, I'm 22 years old, so I destroyed them every time.
Babies are cutthroat, man. What can we say?
Yeah.
Well, that's all. Actually, okay. I know it's become a recurring thing, and it's such a minor thing, for me to talk about my garage door, but I just have to add an epilogue to my garage door tale.
It gets so much better because I know what he's going to say.
Last week on this show, I said to everyone, update on the garage door. I fixed the garage door. I installed the new logic board. It all worked fine, or something to that.
That was a lie.
That was a paraphrase. That was a lie. Not probably 2 hours after recording that show, I get a knock on the door from my neighbor who says, hey, I noticed when I push the remote for my garage door, it opens your door too. And sure enough, I end up hearing from two other neighbors that it's also doing the same thing. And we end up determining that pretty much all of the neighbors in our complex, and there's like 60 neighbors that share a garage door in our building. It's just like, you know, 60 garage doors all lined up in a row, that anytime any of them push a button, it activates our garage door. So we kept like closing it, and then we'd look out a little while later and it was open, and our neighbors kept looking really confused. I saw a few of them open it and see our door go up at the exact same time, and they'd kind of look at it like, oh, was that a fluke or did I do that? So I told my boss at work about this randomly, and he happened to install garage doors back, I think, in college or something like that. So he gave up time out of his day and brought his two sons. In fact, one of them, Jacob, I know is a listener of the podcast, so shout out to Jacob, or sub to Jacob, as his iTunes review name says. So go subscribe to Jacob on whatever
that
platform.
Means.
Whatever
yeah.
that means. And he and, yeah, his two sons came over and installed a new garage door opener for us. So
that's very sweet.
It's finally fixed. As far as I know, it's working. But what a mess.
So wait, your neighbors could open it, but their garage door button wouldn't close it?
Not all of them. Some of the neighbors could close our garage door, but not all of them. It makes no sense.
That doesn't make any sense. Because, like, if it both opened and closed your garage door, that's fine because, I mean, people only have the garage door open for, like, a minute as they're getting their car out, and then it would just be closed again. But
yeah,
since it doesn't do that, that's a problem.
It was bizarre.
So I'm glad it's all fixed now. Yeah,
don't try to fix things. Just let somebody else do it.
That's my brother's approach to pretty much everything, and it's gone pretty well for him thus far. So,
yeah, sometimes you just need to accept. You know what? It would be better if I just paid somebody to do this.
Well, I'm glad that finally worked out for you. And I think that's the end of our two-person podcast. The first ever two-person podcast ever in the history. All podcasts have had either one or three people historically. So this is the first one ever. It'll surely bring on a wave of new people doing two-person podcasts. But Noah, I'm glad we were the first to ever do this ever in the history.
It's good to be groundbreaking, you know?
Yeah. We really set a trend.
I think next week it would be fun if I also dropped off and it's just you talking for an hour. I would enjoy that.
I wouldn't. Because I can't talk for an hour. Well, I could, but it wouldn't be interesting. I wonder what the Guinness Book of World Records... Well, I wonder what the Guinness Book of... Hey, Noah, do you want to say that for me real quick?
The Guinness Book of World Records.
I wonder what that is for the most people on a podcast at one time.
We could try and set that. Except maybe not now. Over Discord.
Yeah, not right now. What is the Guinness World Record? Can I not spell? For most people on a podcast. I don't think there is one. So we could set it.
Sounds like that's our job. Maybe five? I don't know that I've ever heard a five-person podcast. That's probably a record.
Yeah, I think so. I think it might depend on like what constitutes being on it, because I know there have been like podcasts in front of live audiences.
That's true.
Where there's like thousands of people in the audience, and that might not count. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Do they have to be mic'd up? I feel like that would be the rule. We'd have to get like 100 mics, just some cheap dynamic mics, throw them all up in a gymnasium. What would be the best, like, what would that show be about? How could you include 100 people?
Each person could say like 10 things. Like not 10 things, but like 10 words. Like, hi, my name is Ben and I'm on a podcast. That's 10 words. Everyone could just go down a line and say that.
Okay, here's the idea. You each only get to say one word. You sit in a big circle and you just say one word and you just see where the podcast goes from there.
All right, I'm down. Let's do this.
I feel like we should practice with our outro by swapping every word.
All right. So, thank you. We'll start now. Thank you.
All went bad. That's two words.
Oh, thank
you
for
listening.
This
has
been
Noodles
at
Noon.
My
name
was
Ben,
but
now
it's
Noah.
We
are
going
away
now.
Forever.
No. Not
really.
But
we
could
if
we
wanted
to.
NoodlesPodcast.com.
NoodlesPodcast.com. Ah, that works.
That's a good ending.